You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another bonus episode. Love doing them, and I'm really excited about this one. So you have locked yourself into another bonus episode of 2Ps. Another great top five list awaits, and I have a very special guest that is right here with me this evening. Not only a special guest of the show, but just a great dude, friend of mine. I love this guy. I support his show on Patreon. His partner Justin's a good buddy of mine as well. Nick from the Epic Film Guys, welcome to 2Ps, brother. You've been on before, but not on the new format. How are you, man?
I should point out that Gerald supports the show on Patreon, but he doesn't listen to the Patreon version of the show. But we do appreciate the support regardless, brother. We love you. You're amazing. And it's, wow, it's been a long time since I've been on the show, and I know you've been itching to get me in here.
I have been, man, and I'm going to have you back in the future, too. I got a couple topics kind of tucked away for you. This is not one of the ones that I would have thought you would have shown up on, but here you are. Let me tell everyone, we're going to do the top five movies to watch with the whole family is what we're going with as far as a title is concerned. What do you think, Nick? I mean, you get a lot of kind of heat online, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we get to our feedback segment. But I don't know, man, did you find it hard to kind of make a list here, or was there just a lot of movies for you to choose from, or you got a handful?
I've got honorable mentions, which I think speaks to the ability to make the list. It's not a hard list for me to put together. No, this is not usually my genre. There's a lot of quote-unquote favorites in the genre. I'm sure Gerald's going to talk about some of them, but they just don't appeal to me. It's not a genre that necessarily hits for me, especially if it was made in the 80s, because I didn't get to watch a lot of movies as a kid, so I didn't get to grow up with a lot of these movies like a lot of people did. So it just wasn't that difficult, though. I really enjoyed making this list, to be 100% honest. I really, really did, and I was justifying it to myself. I was like, this film's got to go in there. This film's got to go in there. Done.
Let me ask, do you do this? Do you have like family movie night? You guys sit around and watch flicks together?
Myself and my wife will periodically. 85% of the time, 90% of the time, it's probably because, hey, I have to watch this for the show, and she'll be like, okay, I'll watch it with you. Mm-hmm. Like almost all the time. But then every once in a while, something will come out or whatever. Like superhero movies. Like I love to take the boys to see superhero movies and things like that. But
yeah, we do movie night. You know, I have a teenage daughter and then I have a young son who's five. So I'm kind of all over the place in terms of, you know, and I'm sure Disney Pixar might get mentioned tonight, but those tend to be popular when you get the whole family together. I mean, just Disney in general.
And that's how I end up seeing most of those is my wife.
There's something I'm going to mention that I'm sure are going to kind of get under your skin a little bit.
Me? No.
But hey.
I love everything, Gerald. I am the least negative person on the planet.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out today. I don't know. So Nick from the Epic Film Guys is with us, and we're going to count down our top five movies to watch with the whole family. I'm excited, man. I'm going to let you go first. So you got your list there. You ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll, baby.
All right, Nick, let's give it to him, man. What's your number five family film over there?
This is not only a great family film, and I justify the contentious picks on my list, and then I watched them first as a young kid, okay? And I know I said I didn't get to watch a lot of movies growing up in the 80s, but I did get to watch one movie growing up in the 80s that has been one of my favorite movies of all time ever since, going all the way back to 1984, Ghostbusters, baby.
Well, you can believe Mr. Pecker.
My name is Peck.
Or you could accept the fact that this city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Enough, I get the point.
Nice. Adore Ghostbusters. Now, I know there is definitely some adult humor in here,
Sure.
But it zooms right over a kid's head. Like, when I watched this as a kid, I never picked up the innuendo of the gatekeeper and the keymaster. Like, I never always flew right over my head. And I think a great, great movie can do that. I think it can appeal to everybody. Like, the little kids love it. It is a little bit scary. It's got its scarier scenes, but then you've got the Ghostbusters and they're fighting ghosts, man. Like, I remember watching this as a kid. I owned all the toys. I owned the little trap with the air hose. You stomp on it, it pops open, you throw the ghost.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I love great. It. I love it.
I mean, Bill Murray is just phenomenal. I mean, just such a memorable Peter Venkman, right? I mean, he was my favorite part of that movie. I don't know about you, but
I adore every single aspect of it. And now when I watch it as an adult, like I said, it's just so many more things that I pick up about the film that I just love. It's number five because I think there are more family movie-ish choices coming up.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I put it this low. I do adore this movie, though. So, dude.
Yeah, it's a great
starting
movie.
Strong, baby.
Yeah, it's a great movie, great cast, great pick. I like it. I didn't expect it to go to the 80s, I got to be honest. I don't expect us to have really any crossover.
Let me see the list here.
But
going back to the 80s again. Spoiler alert.
I'm excited you did. I think that might surprise people a little bit. It surprises me. I've got quite a few from the 80s, so... All right, so Ghostbusters, you're number five. Good pick, man. I guess you're in agreement the remake was a piece of shit, right?
No, you know what the remake was? The remake was the worst thing a Ghostbusters film could be. It was forgettable, completely bland and forgettable, and there was nothing remarkable. There's nothing that I think about when I think about that movie now, except maybe Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
Nothing that I'm just like, this is great.
Yeah,
it was just so bland and boring. I think I rated it like a five on the show, which is.
No bueno. All right. Look, man, we're going to stay in the 80s for my number five. Okay. I know I've got a couple movies on my list that I've heard you talk about on your show before, but I've never heard you mention this particular one. And if you have, I just have not heard it or I don't remember it. But I just watched this a couple weeks ago, actually, with my 5-year old. And it was the first time he had ever seen it. It was the first time he was ever made aware of it. And I watched it with my daughter when she was young. My wife loves this movie. I love it. I watch it probably at least once a year. The great Steven Spielberg from 1982, E.T. Extraterrestrial.
Ooh, nice. My number very, five. Very nice.
E.T. phone home. Home. Phone home. Phone home.
Does this mean they're coming?
Yes. E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home.
I omitted this. I'll be honest. I thought about it, but I omitted it because I have not seen it in a very long time. But it is a movie that I definitely saw when I was younger, and I do remember it very fondly.
And you're into it. That's not one of the ones that you're like, fuck this movie.
Not the walkie-talkie version. Like, I know that Spielberg, George Lucas did and did the walkie-talkies instead of the guns. No, but like I said, I remember this. I remember like watching this movie like at a young age and being creeped out by E.T. because he's a creepy little dude when you're like a really little kid. How'd your 5-year old like it?
He was into it. I mean, you know, you know how the attention span is at that age. So we had to kind of luckily we were at home. You know, we weren't in a theater, so it made it a little bit easier. But we had to take a break halfway through it. And then it was like the next morning and I was like, you know, what do you want to watch on Netflix, trying to entertain him? He's like, let's finish E.T. So we ended up watching the second half of it the next day. But yeah, he enjoyed it. And, you know,
there's a magic to that movie that I think is what speaks to all ages. There's just that sense of wonder and that sense of magic and like the iconic shot. Come on, riding the bike in front of the moon. It's
absolutely
great.
Young Drew Barrymore, you know, Henry Thomas. I mean, it just already said Spielberg. It's one of my faves from the 80s. And I feel like it fits this list, so I had to throw it on there. But that's my number five, E.T. And that wraps us back around to you, buddy. What's your number four family film?
Now, I haven't seen this movie in a while either, but I was just... And I got a special shout out here to the girls from Boozy Movies because I just listened to their review of a documentary about this individual. But I'm going to the 90s. I'm fast forwarding a decade to the 90s. To one of my favorite family comedies of all time, starring the absolutely immortal Robin Williams, Mrs. Doubtfire, dude.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that in a long time, man, but that's such a good flick.
It's
man.
Like, And they did a review of that documentary that came out about Robin Williams. And that's why it just kind of, when I was thinking about this list, it popped into my head. It's got Williams flexing his dramatic chops. We know he's a great actor, regardless of what he's in. But this movie, it's funny. It's endearing. And at the end of the day, it's a movie about what a dad would go through to get back to be with his kids, right. You know? And I love that. Like you just get the silliness, the nonsensicalness of him dressing up in the Mrs. Doubtfire costume. And then it's just got those serious adult scenes that plays well for the adults. Mm-hmm. All around, just one of the best movies that Robin Williams ever made. One of my favorite Robin Williams films. Mm-hmm. I love it, man. I love it. It's a great, great movie.
It is, man. It's a lot of fun. I haven't seen it in a long time. You remember the year on that specifically? No.
I do not, but I want to say like 92 or something like that.
I just haven't seen it forever, man. But I do love that one. And that one popped up on some lists when I was looking online earlier today. I can't argue with it, man. Robin Williams, rest in peace. Just a phenomenal immortal talent, right? Man.
I thought about, there's another movie. I'll maybe mention it in honorable mentions. There's another Robin Williams movie from the 90s. I thought about sticking in here, but I put this one in instead.
Well, awesome pick, man. I got to revisit that one. And that's why I like doing these top fives. You've probably heard me say on previous episodes, but whenever a movie gets brought up or a TV show or something that, or even a song that I just haven't heard in so long, I literally go and make a playlist right away. I try to find
it. You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. On the way home from the theater, just watched Overlord tonight, and I'm burning through your Patreon backlog right now. So right now I'm listening to you and Andy doing the top five opening scenes or opening credit scenes.
Opening credits, and right.
You get to year number one, which was 7, David mm-hmm. Fincher.
Yeah.
And you're explaining it to him and he's like, you know, my wife doesn't like gore, but she can do some horror stuff. She can do suspense and whatever. And you're like, oh, there's no gore in it. And I'm like, Gerald, you remember those crime scenes, dude? Like those crime scenes are.
And like, I know, I thought about it after. I'm like, I kind of set him up for failure there. There's definitely a lot of blood and gore.
Yeah, he might kill you.
Yeah. But hey, man, 7's a classic. I was so taken aback when I found out he hadn't seen that. I was like, what the hell? All right, let's do it, Nick. So here we go. So my number 4 is The Goonies from 1985. The Goonies are good enough, brother. Now look, me and you go way back here, okay? I love you. You love me. This is not going to fracture our relationship in any way.
Nope.
I love this movie. It is a... let me say my piece and then I'm going to let you bash it, okay? So it's a family adventure film, right? So it's literally, you know, there's family members in the movie and there's friends in the movie. And it's just a group of people that love each other, that care about each other on an adventure in their hometown. And I haven't shown this one to my son yet, in all fairness. So he's 5. I'll probably wait a couple years and I'll introduce him to this. My daughter loves it as well. Me and my wife love it. I feel like it is a perfect family adventure film to sit around the TV, grab some popcorn, and just have a good time. Now you go. Now what? Why? Because I know this is a contentious pick. And specifically Justin Winters and even your partner Justin loves The Goonies too.
Oh, he does.
And you've been known to kind of bash it a little bit. So where is your hatred for The Goonies come from? Yeah, I'm gonna let you clear that out.
Winters pried this out of me a long time ago, so he knows. He knows.
He does.
I don't necessarily hate the movie, but I don't necessarily like it either. It's one of those movies when I talked about before we started, the 80s. Mm-hmm. I never saw this movie when I was a kid. I never grew up with this movie like so many people did, and they have that attachment back to it. So when I first saw it as an adult.
When did you see it? Do you remember when you saw it?
Late 20s, probably.
Okay.
And then I watched it, and like, it didn't connect with me at all. Like, I watched it, and it was just like just the most mute viewing experience. Like, I just didn't get attracted to any particular aspect of it. I just wasn't a fan of it. And I love hyperbole. You listen to my show, you know how I am on my show. I'm big, I'm blustery, I like to spout off at the mouth about stuff. So I'll say stuff to get a rise out of Justin, of course, all the time. Even if I love it, I'll bash it. But no, I didn't grow up with it. There's a lot of movies like that in the 80s.
Yeah,
I didn't get to see a lot of movies when I was a kid. I just unfortunately didn't. And there's some movies in the 80s, at least I would argue, that if you didn't grow up with them, they just don't affect you the same way. That's true of think of any era, really.
Yeah, sure. You're missing the nostalgia piece.
Yeah. So and for you, me, it was just...
Yeah, no, just you've mentioned that to me before, and I kind of get that as well. You know, there's movies for me that predate the 80s that I feel that way, but you know, more so because I wasn't born, but... I don't know, it's harder for me to connect with it if it wasn't an era that I grew up in. Yeah. So, I mean, I get that argument for sure, and I'm just kind of busting your balls a little bit, but I love The Goonies, man. I mean, it is the family adventure film, in my opinion. I know you don't agree with that, but in my opinion...
I wish... Like, there's movies where I wish I could go back and I could view them. Like, other 80s movies. I won't say any titles because I don't know what's coming on your list, but there's other 80s movies that I did experience back then, like Ghostbusters. I was apparently 4 years old and in the theater to see Ghostbusters. I don't remember that. My dad told me that one time. Mm-hmm. I saw Ghostbusters in a theater when I was four. I played with the toys. Like, I watched the cartoon, all that stuff. Like, that's one of those movies in the 80s I did grow up with, and I will defend it to the death, but I missed this one.
Well, that's cool, man. You know, hey, you know, Josh Brolin, Corey,
Sean Astin.
Sean Astin, sure. I just love The Goonies, man. I always have, always will. Just a great kind of fantastical story. And like I said many times already, just a great adventure. And that's what I remember about that movie as a young kid. And even today, and I really am looking forward to, you know, I have the Blu-ray, so I really am looking forward to introducing my son to that, much like I just did with E.T. a couple weeks ago. So it's a big deal for me. And I mean, as you know from listening to my show, Nick, I'm an 80s junkie. So.
Oh, yes, you are.
I live for that stuff, brother. So
that's why Justin get along so damn well.
We do. We have a blast. I can't wait till next October. I'm gonna have him for 80s horror. I'm pumped for that. So I'm already counting down the I already got my calendar. I'm marking off the days there.
How's he gonna pick 5 80s horror movies?
I don't know. He's gonna
be able to do it. Never.
He's gonna be in trouble. I don't know. I think I might do like 80s slasher scenes, like the best scenes from slasher.
Oh, that'd be dope. That'd be dope. He'd be all about that.
All right, so we're up to your number 3, Nick. What do you got over there, man?
All right, well, speaking of the 80s, we're heading right back to the 80s. Now, this is a movie that I did grow up with. I did see this movie probably when I was like 9 or 10. You know, I didn't see it right away, but I wore out a VHS copy of this film, and then I had it taped on like another tape. You know how you used to do that back in the day.
Sure,
VCR, you tape it off of TBS or whatever it was playing on. Mm-hmm. Just an absolute, absolute classic about, especially boys. If you're a boy, just coming of age. Mm-hmm. 1987, baby. Rob Reiner, Stand By Me. Mm-hmm. I adore this movie.
Have gun, will travel, reads the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire, he's the calling wind. A soldier of fortune, he's a man called Paladin.
Sixth Sense, Vern? Like, I grew up, like, me and my brother, especially, and my sister would watch it with us all the time. She loved it. Like, we would just put it in and watch it all the time, even when we were kids, even when we were young. Like, this movie just spoke to us, and it is a really, really one of the best, one of the greatest coming-of-age films of all time, no matter what.
It absolutely is, and I'll tell you, I mean, I went on Peter's show, Podstalgic, and did a retrospective of this movie with him, and it's one of my favorite movies of the 80s. I eliminated it because it's rated R, and the language in the film, obviously, I won't be showing that to my son anytime soon, at least on purpose.
Of course, now, plot of the film is they're going to try to find a dead body, and there's a gun, and there's smoking. Right. But like I said, I probably saw this film for the first time when I was like 9.
And yeah, I stayed over at a buddy of mine, Michael's house, when I had to have been maybe 11 or 12 years old, and we literally watched his VHS copy of this movie probably 5 or 6 times that night. Like, we just literally kept playing it over and over again. We were like reenacting the scene
at the campfire.
Yeah, we were reenacting the scenes with him in the treehouse, and you know, I mean, just the one-liners, man. I mean,
we used to sing, like, me and my friends, we would sing the Paladin song, the Have Gun, Will Travel. Like, we would sing that. Like, we'd hang out in groups and stuff like that. Like,
hell yeah,
like,
dude.
For me, probably, like, it may not be the most family-friendly film, but it affected me enough as a kid that I could not put it on the list. Like, I had to put it in here, and I think especially for a young boy that's coming into his teenage years, absolutely. Because that's kind of where these kids are, I think it's perfect.
Yeah, no question, man. I mean, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I don't know, it didn't fit this list for me just because of the R rating and because of the language in the film, but, I mean, it's tremendous, man. I mean, I love that movie. Just the quote, I mean, I still quote to this day when my daughter is getting ready. You know, I have a teenage daughter, so you can imagine it takes her 2 hours to get ready to check the mailbox. You know what I mean? So she'll be getting, I'll be like, by the time we get there, the kid won't even be dead anymore. And she's like, what are you talking about? You know? It doesn't even fit with whatever we're doing, but I still quote that to this day. I mean, it's just a great movie, man. So you won't get an argument from me. I just excluded it because of the R rating. So
I think the only reason, like I said, I put it in here is because I first saw it when I was like 9. Probably. I mean, it might explain a lot about me if you think about it, but probably a little bit too young for me to be seeing the movie, but that's the only reason why I put it in here. I love it. I adore it. Stand by me, baby.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love Stephen King, too, based on a Stephen King short story and The Body. So great pick, man. All right, so your number three is Stand By Me, which takes me to my number three, which is completely different. So a little criteria. I didn't... what's the best way to preface this? Because I don't want to take anything away from your list, but my list could have very easily been all Disney. Like, I love Disney Studios. I love Disney Pixar. There's never been a movie that's come out under the Disney tag that I haven't enjoyed, and therefore that I wouldn't enjoy with my family. So what I decided to do was just pick one. You know what I mean? I just wanted to put one on the list that I felt like if I was going into my catalog of all my Disney movies, I would grab this one, put it on, and I know the family would have a blast. And we do. We watch it all the time. There's sequels in the series that we watch all the time. There's another one coming out next year that I'm very excited about to take the family to see. But I'm going to go with the OG. I'm going to go with the original from 1995. Toy Story is my number three.
Very... you know what? And I'll spoil it now. No animation on my list. I really thought about it. I fought with myself to include a couple of films, but animation is just like this already isn't my list. And then to include animation, which is not really my genre, right. I do love. I'll talk about them in honorable mentions because I got a couple. But Toy Story and Toy Story 2, especially for me, both of those films are insanely good movies. Insanely good. I'm not as hot on number three as a lot of people. I didn't like it as much as a lot of people did, but
I love it.
It's a great series. Like, dude, all these snippets and all these clips and stuff that they're releasing of like the actors and stuff talking about how hard it was to get through finishing Toy Story 4, like, because it's apparently so emotional.
Yeah,
like, I'm like, man, I don't even want to see, I'm going to have to bring a whole box of Kleenex to the theater, man. It's crazy, man.
Like, I thought, I mean, I know you said you weren't too high on 3, but I mean, in 3, you know, the scene with the main characters in the Inferno or whatever, and then, I mean, that was emotional, and then when Andy had to kind of say goodbye to the toys when he went to college, I mean, you think you get over one hurdle, and then you're like, you know, you feel the tears coming back in the next scene, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, this is a Disney movie. But the Toy Story franchise, and really just Pixar in general, I mean, everything they do is gold. I came on your show, I don't know, about 6 months ago. We talked about The Incredibles 2, and I just, I don't know, man. I love Disney Pixar. I feel like everything they do is just magic. And Toy Story is kind of what started that. I mean, I know they had some shorts that came out in the early 90s, but as far as a feature-length movie, I mean, you got giant names like Tom Hanks and Tim Allen, and I mean, Buzz and Woody, man. I mean, those are iconic images.
Yeah, in absolutely.
Film, not just in animation, but just as far as a buddy comedy goes. I mean, a duo. I mean, Buzz and Woody, man. I mean, that's legit stuff. So, I didn't want to go cartoon animation crazy, so I kind of limited it to one movie. Spoiler alert, this is the only animated on my list, but my number three is Toy Story from 95.
Excellent. All right, buddy. Pick. You will not get an argument from me on that one.
Thanks, brother. So we're to our runners up already, Mr. Nick. What do you got over there for number two, man?
Let me paint you a picture, and it's going to take you there, and you're going to know what it is. All right. Mm. So a guy's sitting in a Jeep, and he just turns his head, and his mouth kind of falls agape a little bit, and he kind of staggers up to his feet, and he takes off his sunglasses, and then his partner next to him puts his hand on her head, turns it. She, mouth agape, stands up out of the Jeep. And then the shot cuts. I'm getting chills just talking about it because I love it so much. The shot cuts. You hear John Williams' iconic score, and you see a brachiosaur step into frame in 1993 Jurassic Park. Spielberg, going back to Spielberg, baby. Mm-hmm, and this one's definitely got some thrills and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some maybe a little bit of stuff that would be a little scary for a younger kid, but... Number one, I think if anybody is making a top list of family-friendly films, this has to be on it. There's no outright gore or anything like that. There's a couple of scary images like Sam Jackson's arm or whatever. Fine. But it's dinosaurs, man. A little kid seeing a movie about dinosaurs. This, I didn't get to go to the movies a lot when I was young. My parents just did not take me a lot, but this is one movie I did see opening day in a theater. And I just remember sitting there. I was... just about to turn 13 years old at the time, and I was just mesmerized. We just did a retrospective on all the Jurassic movies this past summer leading up to Fallen Kingdom. And man, just like I said, even talking about that scene, like that scene is one of the most powerful scenes in the history of cinema. It's brilliant. The music, just the sights, and then you get Hammond at the end of it. Welcome to Jurassic Park. Like, dude, it's like mesmerizing. Like, you show that to any little kid, it doesn't matter when, the effects hold up, everything about it holds up. They will see dinosaurs and they will just be like,
And I did that. I did that this past year. And my, you know, my son is young. He's five now. He was four at the time. But I mean, at that age, young boys are into dinosaurs. I never really understood that, but that's just a thing, you know. It's like monster trucks and dinosaurs. You know, they're just into that when they're of a certain age. And I was like, you know what, man, I'm going to show you, because I got the 4K of Jurassic Park, and I'm like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you something. And I, you know, I didn't want to ask my wife. I'm like, is this okay? Because it is a little.
It's got a couple of scarier moments, a little frightening. A couple of dudes get eaten.
I showed him the scene that you're talking about. I showed him the scene with the T-Rex chasing them in the rearview mirror, and you know, his eyes are just big, and I mean, he'll ask me after, is like, is that real? And I'm like, no, man, it's a movie. Dinosaurs don't exist anymore. But they did a good job, obviously, you know,
because it's the such power. A realistic. That's, and I go back to it. I went back to it when we did the retrospective of it, and just about to celebrate its 25th anniversary as well is Schindler's List. And it's amazing to me that Steven Spielberg made both of those movies at the same time. He had to spend his nights to lift himself up because the subject matter was so dark for Schindler's List. He spent his nights editing Jurassic Park. Like, dude, think about Spielberg and the storied career that man has had, and those two movies together.
We mentioned E.T. earlier and Jurassic Park now. I mean, he's
Schindler's List is not on my list, by the way.
Schindler's List did not fit. I don't know, though. We'll see what you do there. I'm not sure. Maybe you could sell that. I don't know. All right. So my number two is a movie that definitely what would be considered a classic. It is a throwback from many, many, many years ago. And it is a film that is all about imagination. And it's all about, in my opinion, kind of a child's imagination and what, you know, what you can kind of dream of and what you can think of happening and all this crazy shit that kind of goes through your mind when you're young. You know, when you get old like we are, you kind of lose your imagination. At least I have. But I'm going to go all the way back to 1939 for The Wizard of Oz. Is my number two.
You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. You find he is a wizard of wiz, if ever a wiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a wiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one because of the wonderful things he does.
This film is a movie that there's very few films I could count on one hand, probably, that if I get my children with me and this is on, you know, because they played on TBS every year or TNT or whatever it is. You know, we own the Blu-ray as well. But there's very few films that I get my kids together and I'm watching it and I just feel, I don't know, just like something rushes through my body that I'm just like allowing them to experience something and we're sharing it together. I know it's really weird. It's not even so much about the movie itself. It's not about The Wizard of Oz. It's just about a feeling that movie gives me when I'm experiencing it with my children. It's a really weird thing, but it's such a iconic film, you know, from the black and white and then changing to the color, which at the time people were going out to the movie theater. They didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're seeing it when they did that cut of it where they went to color. And you to see that on the screen, you're like, oh, my God. Like, you know, I can't imagine what that would be like because we're so spoiled these days. But I don't know, man. I haven't heard you talk on your show about The Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you have anything you want to say about it. But the feeling that I get when I watch this movie with my family is really unexplainable. I'm really at a loss for words for it. But as far as a family movie that you want to gather your family around to watch, The Wizard of Oz is up there for me, man.
See, for me, it's a movie that I respect a lot because of a lot of things that it did. I think it's shot very well. I think it's made very well. And it's like insane how the popularity of that movie has endured over the past 80 years. Not a fan of it though. Like I can't watch it. Like I can't put it in and be like, I'm going to watch it. I just can't do it. Like, it's just not my kind of movie. If that makes sense. But I respect the hell out of it because it was a technical marvel, especially at the time, like you're talking about. And yeah, I saw this on a lot of lists, and every time I saw it, I was like, I can't put it on my, it's not a movie that I can even get through. Like, I can't even watch through it. I can't even do it.
Well, you know, the thing, and this goes back to your point earlier, to be honest, and I'm not even upset with you about that, because I think a lot of this will play into this too, is that my mom, you know, showed this to me and my sister once or twice a year, every year, my whole life. So, you know, my grandmother as well. So it was like, I saw it every year of my life from as long as back as I can remember, probably 4 or 5 years old until now. So, you know, I've seen this movie every year for the last 37, 38 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, you probably didn't experience that in your childhood. So there's something, it's probably got a little bit to do with it. You know what I mean? Having that connection
relatively young. I wasn't like, I had to be like, either like young kid, like just about to turn 10 or whatever, or maybe like right in those preteen years. Like I did see it relatively young. It's just never, ever connected with me. Like I just can't watch it and connect with it. And thank God we're not talking about that, the Great and Powerful Oz movie that Sam Raimi did with James Franco and whatnot.
That was really disappointing. I should have put that on my suggestion for Paul and Wayne, actually, because they're doing the most disappointing movies this week. But yeah, you know, Return to Oz was a great kind of 80s film as well. It was dark and it was spooky, and that one's a little frightening. I love that movie, but that one's almost like a children's horror movie. It's really weird. I don't know if you ever saw Return to Oz, but yeah, Wizard of Oz, you know, I mean, I don't know, man. Like I said, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West, Dorothy, Toto, the Scarecrow, Tin Man. I mean, these are all iconic images in pop culture that,
absolutely,
like you said, have just endured for 80, 90 years. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love the Wizard of Oz, man. It's not so much that the movie itself that I love. It's just the feeling I get when I watch it with my family.
Yeah.
We watch it every year. So that's why it's my number two, man.
Oof.
And if you're ready, I'm going to let you give us your number one, brother. And you've got two 80s movies on your list. Did you know that? Did you know that going in?
I know.
I can't believe you did that, man.
I know.
All right, brother. All right, brother. So give it to us, Nick. Drum roll. What's your number one?
All right. Well, I'm going to stay back in that golden age of Hollywood. Absolute classic. Literally a film that I have to watch every single year. And it was tough to keep Christmas movies off of this list, but I was in the theater, and believe this or not, I was in the theater to watch Overlord, and I was scrolling through because I was still finalizing my list for the show tonight when I was in the theater, and I'm just like scrolling through lists and stuff like that, and I happen upon this movie, and I just start thinking about it, and just thinking about it makes me well up, you know, makes me get emotional, and I'm like, this has to be my number one.
Yeah.
We're talking Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life, baby.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Barry.
I'll take it. Then what?
Well, then you could swallow it and it'd all dissolve, see? And the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair. Am I talking too much?
Yes. Why don't you kiss instead of talking her to death?
How's that?
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Want me to kiss her, huh?
Oh, youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Really?
It's legitimately, like, it's one of those movies every year. Shout out to Dan from Netflix and Swill, who hates this movie. Hates it.
He hates that. You hate A Christmas Story. You guys get together every holiday season.
But I adore this movie. I utterly, utterly adore this movie. Like, to take that character and everything that he endures throughout the entire course of that movie, how he is repeatedly just beaten and broken down by life, and he finally breaks. And, like, it's got, like, the talking angels and stuff like that. No, blah, blah, blah. It also gave us one of the greatest Christmas episodes of television of all time when it gave us the Married with Children rip off of this, where Sam Kinison plays the angel.
That's right, yeah.
God.
I remember that.
Sorry, Bundy. I'm supposed to tell you why you should live, but I can't think of one reason. But this movie, and, like, the way it's the end of it that really, really gets you, because they lose the money, right? They lose the money and they're going to lose the bank unless they can come up with the money. And he wants to live again. He wants to live again. And he races back home, and he gets home, and, like, literally everybody from the town just shows up to help him, because all he's done his whole life is give to these people and give to everybody around him. Never asked for anything in return. Always was, like, literally just the best kind of person. Like, if you want a person that you can model yourself after and have a great fucking life, it's Jimmy Stewart in this movie.
Is this your number one Christmas movie?
Absolutely. Without question. It's okay. Every single holiday I have to watch it. I utterly and completely adore it. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. Like, it's just,
I can tell.
It's just that good. And I mean, like I said, you think about everything that George Bailey endures throughout the course of this entire movie. Mm-hmm. And he breaks and, you know, he realizes, you know, it's the power of one life. And I mean, it puts me in an existential place every single time I watch it, because I always think of my own life and I always think of, you know, inside my own mind space, you know, what would life be like if I had never been born, you know, if I wasn't around or whatever the case may be, you know, it just gets inside of me. I don't know what it is, kind of with you talking about Wizard of Oz just a minute ago. It's just that feeling you get when you watch that movie. By the end of that movie, I'm just a freaking faucet out both eyes. Like, I'll just like, it's amazing, dude. Like, it's amazing. Crazy, like, man. Dude, when he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out the pedals, he's like, Zuzu's pedals. And he's freaking out because he realizes he's back alive again. And he goes screaming through town. Like, dude, I can't even anymore. I can't even.
That's crazy, man. I didn't see that coming, but I mean, I'm not going to argue with
that movie.
That is a classic, man. I mean, that's a great flick. I didn't, you know, now that you mentioned Wonderful Life, I there's probably a couple Christmas movies I could have put on here too, but for some reason I just kind of blocked out Christmas movies.
So you made the deal with yourself that you were only going to include one animated film. I made the deal with myself. I was like, only one Christmas movie. I've got one coming up in honorable mentions I'll talk about, but this is the one that had to be number one.
Yeah, I can see why, man. I mean, I can kind of feel your connection to it. I mean, I almost started crying when you're talking about
it. It's amazing.
Take it easy. I'm in a sensitive place right now.
Suck it, Dan.
Be easy over there. All right. So my number one is not as emotional. It's just a good time, man. It is. We've already talked about adventures. Actually, my whole list is really an adventure list. All five of my movies would be considered adventure stories. But this is a fantasy and it's an adventure. It's also from the 80s. So I know you're going to love it. But if it's from 1987, it's The Princess Bride is my number one.
Nice.
One of my favorite movies of all time. I know people throw that term around, and I haven't actually sat down to make a list, but this has got to be in my top 10 or 15 movies of all time, just period. I love it. I saw it at a young age. I was 11 years old or 12 years old when it came out. Very impressionable, obviously, at that age, and we owned it on VHS, and I literally watched it every day for probably a year. I mean, I just love this movie. Right? I mean, it's like reading a fantasy, like kind of like, you know, now they have the teen fantasy books or novels. It's kind of like reading that, but it's just the quality is so amazing, and the characters that come out of this movie and the acting performances, just tremendous. And this is Rob Reiner too, right? I feel like. Does Rob Reiner do this one, Nick? Do you know?
I could not tell you, to be 100% honest. See, this is my wife's favorite movie of all time. And she egged me and egged me and egged me after we got together and everything. You have to watch this movie. You have to watch this movie. You have to watch this movie. And I watched it. And fuck you, Paul, from The Countdown. I really like the movie. I really do enjoy it. For me, again, I didn't grow up with it. So I don't have that kind of attachment back to it, but I really enjoyed it. Like, dude, Andre the Giant, like, come on, I love Andre the Giant. I really, really enjoyed the movie. I think it's a really, really good movie. It didn't, like, I wasn't like floored or anything, like whatever, but I would definitely pop it in again if I was ever in the mood or whatever. And I just really, really enjoyed it. But Paul likes to get after me because I watched it and I told him about it because I know he loves it. He showed it to his daughter and everything. And I told him about it and I was like, yeah, I liked it. And he's like, but you didn't love it. Like,
I did.
I think it's a
big
great
fan
pick.
Of this movie too. It is Rob Reiner, by the way, so that's our second Rob Reiner director.
There you
film.
Go man.
Mandy Patinkin.
I think Reiner and Spielberg are the kings of this list here.
Yeah, they love the family friendly ones, I guess, huh? But Mandy Patinkin as Inigo Montoya, you know, you killed my father, prepare to die, and kind of that revenge story that's kind of lurking throughout the whole movie. You already mentioned Andre the Giant. A Wesleyan Buttercup, in my opinion, is one of the greatest love stories in cinema. I mean, it's awesome. And Cary Elwes and Robin Wright really killed those roles very young in their careers for them.
Yep.
And look at the careers that have been spawned from that movie, which is really where they started. I mean, Wallace Shawn as Vincini. I mean, just the scene where they're doing the poison in the goblets, and I mean, you know what I'm talking about, and he just kind of has this maniacal laugh and then just drops dead. I mean, it's just...
All right. Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it's so simple. All I have to do is divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison into his own goblet or his enemy's? Now, a clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You've made your decision then?
Not remotely. Because Iocane comes from Australia, as everyone knows. And Australia is entirely peopled with criminals. And criminals are used to having people not trust them, as you are not trusted by me, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going!
It just is embedded thing. In your mind forever. And look, the cliffs of insanity, you know, and they have to...
The funniest thing about the poison scene, the small aside, I'm a huge fan of the adventure game series King's Quest. Mm-hmm. They did like a reboot, re-release of the series. And the guy that plays the dude that did the Poison Cup game, the actor's name escapes me. You just said it, I think.
Wallace Shawn, yeah.
Yeah. He plays the voice of basically the main nemesis of it. And one of the puzzles you have to solve at the end of the first part of it is an exact homage to the Princess Bride, to that Poison Chalice game. You have to classic. It's literally exactly the same. And that was, I had never seen the movie before I played that game. So I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I saw that movie and it's literally the same exact dude with the same voice, like that iconic voice doing that. And I was like, holy shit.
It's great,
like,
man.
It just all of a sudden clicked for me. And I was like, dude.
Yeah, you can't like so many fool other me. Things. I know where the poison is.
it's great, like I said, it's a good movie. I really liked it when I watched it.
This is another one that kind of fits with the Goonies, what I was talking about earlier, because I'm going to wait a few years to show those to my son. I feel like at 5, he can't really appreciate The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
But like 7 or 8 years old, you know, I'm gonna throw this on and see what he thinks. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that. And I did that with my daughter. You know, I can remember when she was, I don't remember her exact age, but I know she was less than 10 years old when I showed her this for the first time. And she loved it. I mean, it's just an adventure. It's a love story. It's an adventure. You know, it's like they say in the beginning, you know, you got sword fighting, you got, you know, it's great, man. And I would love to throw the family together and put this on any day of the week. It's my number one, The Princess Bride. And like I said, it's one of my favorite films of all time in any genre. There you go. All right, man. So I'll tell you what, let's do a quick recap. So Nick, give everybody what your 5 was again.
All right. So number 5, Ghostbusters. Number 4, Mrs. Doubtfire. Number 3, Stand By Me. Number 2, Dinosaurs, Baby. Jurassic Park. And number 1, It's a Wonderful Life.
Don't get emotional. I'll
try not to. Dude, I'm serious. I'm serious, man. Buckets every year. Every doesn't matter how many times I've seen it. It just hits me every time.
Every time Nick sees an 80s movie, an angel gets its wings. All right. Here's my 5. My 5 were E.T., The Extraterrestrial, The Goonies, Toy Story, Wizard of Oz, and my number 1 was The Princess Bride. So there we go. I think we didn't have any crossover, which I thought we might have one. I wasn't sure if you were going to go.
I did have Princess Bride as an honorable mention.
Yeah, go ahead and give me a few. So give us a few of your honorable mentions. I've got about 10 here, but I'll let you go ahead and name a few.
Princess Bride got bumped off late. It got bumped off late because I was like, I've got to put Ghostbusters in there. I talked animated a little bit earlier. Animated film that I did bump off the list was Aladdin. I really, really love that film. And again, Robin Williams, dude, like Robin Williams, like no, like every other animated film, like there's so many good animated films like you talked about earlier. But to me, Robin Williams is the genie. Just forget it. And I also had on here Christmas movies. I omitted it purposely because I was like, I can't have 2 Christmas movies, but Home Alone, the original, not the piece of shit sequel.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I thought that for my whole life, I got to be honest, I thought the sequel was a piece of shit. But you know what? We watched it. It's on, I want to say it's on Hulu or Netflix now. And my son loves Home Alone. Like, I don't know why. I just threw it on last Christmas. And it's like, he'll watch it like in July. He like loves it. Yeah. And I was like, you know, there's a sequel, dude. There's a Home Alone 2. And he's like, oh my God, are you serious? Which of course it's the same movie.
Which is why I don't like it. That's why I don't like it.
He's in New York as opposed to being in his house. But you know what? I watched it. I was going to tell you, Nick, I watched it last week. I thought it was pretty good. I'm like, wow, I don't remember this. That's why this I don't like it.
I love the first one. The first one is great, no matter what.
Yeah.
Justin will always give me shit about it because I'll always harass him about the second one.
Yeah,
I just don't like the second one because I'm like, but you didn't do anything different. No, you literally just put him in a different place, and it's the exact same movie.
And it's got Trump in it. So
yeah, it's got Trump in it. So there you go. And then
any others?
One more classic film here as well. I cannot wait for the sequel this Christmas. Mary Poppins, baby.
Yeah, that's on mine too. So we had Home Alone and Mary Poppins on honorable mentions. All right, so a few that I'll run down. You know, like I said, I didn't want to put a ton of animated. So a few animated that I had on here that I just love. The original Incredibles from 2004. I mean, that's a good flick. Family.
Good flick.
Inside Out, which... I mean, Bing Bong gets me every time. But
dude, don't you dare. Gidget did it earlier on Twitter. Don't you dare.
I love
you. Don't post that gift to people. That's mean.
Oh, man. That's a heart-wrenching scene, no doubt. Let's see. Coco from 2017. Did you ever see Coco?
I did not get a chance to see that one yet.
It's a good flick, man. It's truly a family story. Make sure you check that one out. The Lion King from 1994.
Good movie.
Yeah. And then to leave the animated world, you already said Home Alone. I put Big. Tom Hanks
Big is such a good movie.
1988.
Oh, I didn't even think of Big either. I probably wouldn't have made my list, but it definitely would have been like a top 10 list. Definitely probably would have been in there.
Yeah. And then the last couple that you might not think of that I own them and I watch them all the time. And I do think of them as family films. Freaky Friday from 2003 with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah,
and
I never caught it.
They swap, you know, the mom swaps the daughter. It's a remake, but I love the 2003 version. And then That Thing You Do, which is another Tom Hanks flick from 1996 with Liv Tyler. And they're like a 60s kind of Beatles-esque band.
Yeah, yeah.
That rise to fame. And it's a PG movie that's just a lot of fun. It's a feel-good movie, That Thing You Do. All right, so that's it, man. What we're going to do real quick, Nick, is we're going to go over, we call it the suggestion box, where we open up the suggestion box and we see what some peeps had to say online, and I'm going to let you do a little commentary on that. You cool with that?
I'm good with anything, brother.
I know you saw some of those earlier. So let's see. Over on Twitter, you just mentioned Gidget. So Gidget Von LaRue over there, she's in Australia. So here's her list. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Mary Poppins. Wally. I love Wally.
Wally is so good.
Yeah, so good, man. Inside Out, The Goonies. I know you love that. Chicken Run, Bugsy Malone, and The Witches. The Witches is a little scary. You see The Witches? You ever seen
that? Never seen it.
It's good. It's good. It's just, it's kind of like I was talking about with Return to Oz, where it's almost got like a horror feel to it. But good list from Gidget there. I love Gidget. She's a great contributor to the show here. Let's see. We go down. Okay, so Justin Winters wanted to know, I mean, he said he was going to abstain because you said all of his childhood favorites are garbage. I don't know.
I love trolling Justin's. Like, that's my station in life, is to troll Justin's. My co-host on the East Coast, him on the West Coast. Like, I got him everywhere.
But he obviously is in love with the Goonies. Let's see. The 30-something podcast over there said The Rocketeer, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, An American Tale, Chicken Run, and Return of the Jedi. What do you think about the Star Wars films being considered, I guess they're family films, right?
I thought, and when I looked up a lot of lists, I saw all the Harry Potter movies and all the Star Wars movies. I didn't want to just franchise dump. I wanted to stick with singular films. Like, you know, it's kind of that, if you pick Star Wars or if you pick Harry Potter or if you pick any franchise, it's like, what movie do I pick in that franchise? You know, and then it kind of becomes a battle of, well, do I pick this movie? Do I pick that? Whatever, you know,
right.
Like, I didn't want to have to deal with any of that nonsense. So I omitted all of them, but
yeah,
not I Jedi. See.
It's hard for the original trilogy of Star Wars to hold up too, because my son is a big Star Wars fan in terms of, like, you know, the toys and the memorabilia. But when I tried to show him the original Star Wars, he lost interest in it. It doesn't hold up as well, you know, for young kids today.
It's such a slow, and that's one of the reasons why when I saw Star Wars popping up on so many lists, I omitted it, because it's an insanely slow movie for the first half of it. And then it really picks up when you get to the Death Star and everything like that.
Right.
It's such a slow movie. I don't think it's a good kids movie, because it's never going to hold a kid's attention, ever.
Right. And that's what I'm experiencing with my son, but I'll try again. You know, as he gets older, when we get into some of the newer ones that are PG-13 that are coming out. A. Marie 72 over on Twitter said The Sandlot. We didn't mention The Sandlot. You a fan of that one or no?
It's decent.
I like it. I like
another shout out to Dan of Netflix and Spill, who also hates the same.
He absolutely hates it.
Despises it.
And didn't he lose the draft last year by one vote because of the Sandlot?
I'm pretty sure.
I feel like that happened. Christmas Vacation. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
That's another good one. The Goonies, Miracle, and Hocus Pocus. She has some really good ones there. Ian Young over on Twitter. Now, this is one that, if I had decided to put it in this category, would have probably been my number one. But I left it out of this particular category. But he said Back to the Future. What do you feel about that?
It's got, I mean, it'll go over a kid's head, but it's got that whole subplot of the doc buying plutonium for your terrorists. It's got the whole Marty macking it with his mom thing. Like,
right.
I mean, and that's me applying adulthood back over onto it and whatnot. But no, I couldn't go with it either.
I love Back to the Future. I don't know.
I do too. I love it.
I mean, I definitely wouldn't, you know, refrain my kids from watching it. I don't know. For some reason, it just didn't click with me when I mentioned family films, but obviously just a freaking classic. He's also got, Ian Young has also got Flight of the Navigator, which I don't believe I've seen.
I have not seen it either. I know Justin's a big fan of Flight of the Navigator, though.
Okay. And then he also said Toy Story, Home Alone, and The Greatest Showman, which I don't know.
I love the music in The Greatest Showman, much like, I'm sorry, Gerald, when you see it, you'll agree with Justin. I know you will, because I just know you. Mm. But much like Bohemian Rhapsody, great music. Like, the music is amazing, especially in The Greatest Showman. It's incredible. But the movie itself is garbage. It's so bad. It's so terrible. The music is amazing. Just put on the soundtrack. Just listen to that music. The music is incredible.
Yeah, I do love Queen, man. We just did our top five Queen songs with Chris from More Gooder Than, and I mean, it's hard to beat Queen's catalog, so I'm looking forward to it for nothing else, just because I love that music. So, all right, so let's go over to our Facebook fan page. Guys, make sure you follow us on the Facebook fan community. That's where we interact with our fans the most, or at least we try to. I'm just going to mention a few here because these guys are so awesome, and they always give us suggestions week in and week out. Amanda from Amanda's Picture Show A-Go-Go, listen to her top five. One that I was surprised by that I'll ask your opinion on, but she's got The Princess Bride, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Star Wars, Babe, and Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump interested me a little bit when she put that on there. What do you think, Nick? I don't know. Doesn't Jenny die of AIDS in the movie? And I don't know.
Well, you know what? If I can justify Stand By Me, I could sort of see justifying it, because there's so many good things about the movie. There's so many good messages. Sorry, yeah. Paul. But I also think I think it doesn't strike me as a family movie, because I don't think you can park a little kid in front of it and just let them go. And they're going to be like, oh, yeah, it's Forrest Gump. And they're going to watch it for, like, what is that movie, like 5 hours long?
Yes, yeah, it's just a minute.
So long.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously, I don't know if you agree, but I think it's an amazing movie.
I adore it.
It's one of Tom Hanks' best performance.
Fuck you, I mean, Paul.
It's basically a history lesson, but it's fun, you know. And yeah. I could see watching it with, like, your teenage kids. But I don't know about, you know, anybody under like 12 or 13. It might be a little But I love Amanda, and I love Babe. That was an awesome pick. So she had a great list there. Tony Dobbish, who I love, he also contributes pretty much every week. He said he threw up something on your page, but he wanted to mention The Sandlot. We are talking about The Sandlot. I think that's a great, great baseball movie. And Dan Brennick is in love with that pick, I'm sure. And then last thing I'll mention, so your partner, Justin, he's one of my favorite people, much like yourself. And, you know, he's having a good time over there, because we're doing family friendly. You get the whole family together, right? And you're watching these movies. But here's his five, okay? He's got The Cannibal Holocaust, The Exorcist, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Last House on the Left, and Scarface. So get the kids together, you know, and throw those on, and Justin will approve. Nick, I love you, man. I love Justin, the Epic Film guys. You guys are two of my faves. You have been for several years now. You guys are just awesome. Keep doing what you do, brother. But I want you real quick, as if anybody listening to me doesn't know where to find you, tell them where to find you, man.
Just head over to Google, not Bing, don't Bing. And just Google Epic Film Guys. You can go to epicfilmguys.com. We're literally every social media platform and every podcatcher under the sun. Search for us. You'll find us. We're the herpes of the podcast world. We're everywhere. We never go away.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait to come back on your show too, Nick. I love you guys. You know that. So keep me in mind, brother. I will come on and talk about I'll love whatever you hate. So there's a good chance of
that's,
that happening.
That is pretty much it, because there's a lot of stuff. And it's weird that our lists were so agreeable, relatively speaking.
Yeah. You didn't go all in on the Goonies. You took it easy on me, so I appreciate that.
I just don't like it. I just say I hate it just to piss off winners. It works every time.
Mission accomplished, brother.
It works every time.
Thanks for being here, man. You know I really appreciate it, and I hope to have you back soon. I think I'm going to have you back next year. I'm saving it for you, but we're going to do our top five Tarantino characters when his new movie comes out. So get ready for that.
I'm chomping a bit for that one already.
I'm not be mad at you for that. Oof. All right, Nick. So for Nick, this is Gerald signing off of this bonus of two P's. Obviously, I thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Or the mountain should crumble to the sea. I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And darling, stand by me, oh, stand by me, oh, stand now, stand by me. Stand by me.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.